Can we turn first to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 47. Everyone that comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug and went deep and laid a foundation on the rock. But a great rain coming, the stream broke upon that house and could not shake it, for it had been founded on the rock. And he that has heard and not done is like a man who has built a house on the ground without a foundation, on which the stream broke, and immediately it fell, and the breach of that house was great. Turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay beside that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then finally, a few verses in the Epistle to the Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. That the Christ may dwell through faith in your hearts, being rooted and founded in love, in order that ye may be fully able to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of the Christ which surpasseth knowledge, that ye may be filled even to all the fullness of God. But to him that is able to do far exceedingly above all which we ask or think, according to the power which works in us, to him be glory in the assembly in Christ Jesus, unto all generations of the ages of ages. Amen. This is a well-known story. We've been taught it since we were quite young, I'm sure most of us, about these two men that were building their houses. The Lord speaks of the man who built his house, dug deep, laid a foundation on the rock, and the man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. Now, my exercise tonight in the preaching of the gospel is that each one of us might just study our lives, study ourselves, and just answer this question as to what our foundations are laid on. The Lord says, everyone that comes to me and hears my word and does them, I'll show you who he's like. He's like this wise man, as we talk about, that dug deep, laid a foundation on the rock, and we think of what that gave him then. It gave him a house that could not be broken, could not be destroyed whenever the streams broke upon it. Couldn't shake it even, for it had been founded on the rock. And we look at that and the comparison with the one that we talk of as the foolish man who built his house on the ground without a foundation, on which the stream broke, immediately it fell, and the breach of that house was great. Now, I would like you to just consider this at the start of this wee preaching tonight, as to what are you building on? Where is your hopes? What is your desires as you go through this life? And what's your outlook? It's very easy as we go through this world to have our hopes and all our plans built on the things of this world. We see all around us men and women and children who are going on completely without care or without thought as to what happens after we are called from this scene. Now the Lord is very clear here when he says, everyone that comes to me and hear my words and does them, that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to come to him. And in the gospel tonight, that would be what we would be seeking to proclaim, is that there is one who desires to have you for himself, for his pleasure, that you might be free from the bondage of your sins. So you ask, what do you mean now, bondage of my sins? I'm a good person now. I really haven't done anything wrong. I'm as good as my next door neighbour, and I pay into charities and I work hard, and there's lots that I do in life that I can point to as being good. Well, in Romans chapter 3, there's a verse 10 where it says, there is not a righteous man, not even one. Now the one that we're speaking of tonight, the mighty God in heaven, he is a righteous God. He is one that cannot accept anything but what is perfect in righteousness. And as we study ourselves, I would encourage you to take a look. It doesn't require us to look very far into our thoughts and our minds to realise that we can see where the The writer is speaking in Romans where he says, there is not a righteous man, not even one. The scriptures are full of references to where we are told. Later on, it says in that same passage in Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is a fact that is, people will try and say that this is not true. They'll say that I live a good life and I'm not a bad person. The point is, it's not a case of whether you think you're good or you think you're not bad. The point is, in God's judgment, we are sinners. We are sinners that are bound for a lost eternity. And if we are seeking to do anything that of ourselves to try and justify ourselves or to win our way into glory or win our way into a state of eternal peace, we cannot do that from anything that we would try and do of our own accord. We must build on the foundation. And the sure foundation of all blessing is the wondrous act in which the righteousness of God is declared, the death of Christ. And that, dear friend, is what the one I would like to point you tonight to, is that blessed Lord Jesus, the one who spoke in the section in Luke 6 that we read, everyone that comes to me and hears my word and does them. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord and accept him tonight. As you sit under the sound of the gospel again, I would compel you that you would consider that one and all that he has done and what he has been through, that there might be an answer to your sinful need. Foundations are something that are really not, they're not seen once the house is built or once the building goes up, but they're so important. I know whenever we were doing a new mill, we had to do piling, the concrete piling down into the ground. There was, it's not a particularly big building, but there was 78 piles of, the concrete piles had to be driven down about 12 or 15 metres into the ground. And all linked with wire and steel cables and concrete over the top. And such a foundation. What was below that ground was tremendous. And I had no idea that this was going to be required until the architects and the surveyors come up with these plans, told us what had to go in. And that this had to be done in order that there was safety, that there was that would hold the building into place with the weight of bins and machines that would be going inside it. And at that, in contrast with earlier in the year, we were doing a wee bit of building work beside the old dwelling house at the mill. And the old dwelling house has been up there for many, many years, and big, thick stone walls. But whenever we dug down the side of it, we found that underneath it, there was no foundations at all. There was just the floor of the house, and then you were down into the earth. And that couldn't be seen either. And dear friends, as we go through this world, we will come across people, and it might be someone that you're close to, or it might even be yourself, that outwardly everything looks fine and everything looks as if it's going on right, and there's a good person and they're living well. But what is their foundation in? What's there that will stand whenever there comes that day of when their time here in this earth is done? How will it stand before God whenever they're brought before to answer to what's demanded of them? For as being born into this human race, Adam's race, we are born in sin. We are shaped in iniquity. We grow up, and very early in our early years, we fail. Sin comes in. But even apart from that, we are actually part of Adam's fallen race, and we are actually born in sin. So we are hell-deserving sinners as part of Adam's race, and there isn't actually any hope for us in our carnal state. We are bound to be judged because God is righteous, and because he cannot have sin in his sight, we are judged to be bound for hell. God knew all this. He saw Adam's fall. He watched his chosen people. They were given the law. They were unable to withhold the law. They were unable to uphold the law. they carried on, and sin, they failed. They offered the sacrifices, but right the way through, as we read in the Old Testament, there was failure, there was failure, there was failure. What did God do? God gave his Son, the blessed, precious Lord Jesus, the one who took up manhood's form, that he might provide an answer to the sinner's desperate need. To you and me, our desperate need, as those who needed a foundation, who needed that we could build upon, that would be steadfast and safe. What a wondrous work was done at Calvary's cross. Our blessed Saviour came into this world. He lived a perfect life, sinless, without blemish. He showed the world what man should be. What God expected of man was displayed in Jesus, the one who was everything that God required. Oh, that blessed one, that wondrous Saviour and Lord. You know, if you can accept him as your own personal Saviour, what a joy it is to get to know him and his love that flows freely to those who he has died for, those that he has saved by his precious blood. Well, he came into this world and he came to die. He came with that purpose that he would go to the cross, that he would go to Calvary's cross to die. And he did that, dear friend. He did that as we read in the section in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, "For other foundation can no man lay beside that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus is the foundation. He is the one that we would be seeking to build on, him and his precious finished work at Calvary's cross. For whenever we come to him and we realize in our despair and in our desperation that we are sinners, that we are lost, that we are hopeless, and if we are left here, if we are taken from this scene, and our time is finished here, we face, if we're still in our sins, we face a lost eternity. What a thought, that time, when time ends and we go into an eternal state, a period that will never ever end, there will be no close to that period. And we have the opportunity now to make that decision to accept the Lord Jesus as our own Saviour and be freed from the curse, to be freed from the penalty that is due to us as sinners, as those who have brought in that which is completely unacceptable to God. We are sinners and we are bound for an eternity in hell. But God in his love, and his love for his created man, God provided his Son, the Lord Jesus, that he might die on Calvary's cross. Well, think of the suffering of that one. Think of the suffering of the Lord Jesus. What it was for him to bear the whole hatred and scorn and railings of men. Think of what it was for the one who created the universe to have a crown of thorns put in his head. And they mocked him. And they put a sign up on his cross saying, "King of the Jews." Oh, that blessed one, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they scourged him, they nailed him to the cross, they drove nails through his hands. Think of the one who came here to save. And we watch and we look at his pathway and the blessing that men and women and children received as coming into his contact with the Lord. His love flowed from him. And there was healing and there was salvation and there was love flowed from our Lord. And yet, how was that accepted? Crucify him. Crucify him. That's what they bawled as they were standing round at this judgment. They cried, "Crucify him. Away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us." Oh, the foolishness of man. Here was the one who was sent to save sinners. The one who came to save sinners. And what did man do? They rejected him. They cast him out as worthless. The cornerstone, they cast him out as no use to them. Oh, the one who was to be our foundation, he was beaten and mocked and scorned and put on Calvary's cross. and left to die. But we think of what he bore before he died. We think of what he took upon himself and those 3 hours of darkness where he took the whole judgment of the whole sin question on him. The Lord Jesus had to take the whole sin question on him on those 3 hours of darkness. That was when God judged sin. That was when God took the poured out his wrath, poured out his judgment for what had entered into mankind at the outset when Satan had tempted Adam and Eve and made them fail and sin come in. That was judged at the cross. Oh, praise his name. Our blessed Lord took that upon himself. And think, the world couldn't look on him. It was, the world was cloaked in darkness. There was darkness throughout the land while our Lord was on the cross bearing that judgment. But he completely finished it. He completely did all that was needed to be done when he was truly alone on Calvary's cross. He cried, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. And man, even in his hatred at that point, as he hung on the cross, man smote him with a spear and out flowed blood and water. Oh, we think of the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus. We think of how we can be cleansed and purified through the precious finished work of the Lord. The veil was rent. The end of what the old dispensation and what was new has been brought out. And now we can know liberty. We can know joy. We can know hope because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus. And we can go through our pathway here now with a relationship with that one, because death could not hold him. The Lord Jesus was put into the grave. Think of how it could say in the scriptures how he was with the rich in his death. There was a man, Joseph, and he put him in the tomb. They rolled a stone over it, they sealed him in, they guarded the tomb. How did men think in their puny state that they could in any way restrict the creator of the world, the creator of the universe, the one who made man? How did man think that he was ever going to guard a tomb? Oh, they couldn't hold the Lord in death. No, as the wee hymn says, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes." He arose triumphant. Oh, what a wonderful joy it is now in our hearts to know that that one, that blessed one who came to live, the one who came to die, could not be held in the grave. He came out of the grave and he's alive and he's risen and he's living today. And that, dear friends, is the gospel story. The Lord Jesus came into this world to save you and to me, but it involved, he had to go into death. It involved him having to take our sins upon him, that he had to bear the judgment of our sins. So how can we be saved? How do we get free from the burden of sin? If you're actually tonight, while you're listening to this, if you are aware of the fact that you're a sinner, that you're lost, that you're going to be in hell and suffering for all of eternity, and if you're worried, as you should be, if you're worried about this and you're concerned about this, what can you do? What can you do to be saved? As the jailer could cry to Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" You know, the answer is so simple. But the pride of man is so slow to accept it. We're so much determined that we can do something ourselves. Paul's response was, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved." It wasn't that you had to tramp up some mountain. It wasn't that you had to give yourself some pain or suffering, or that you had to try and do this or do that. It's a simple order. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. That doesn't mean to say that you just believe that he existed, that he was a good man, that he was here. The belief is believing in your heart. It says in the scriptures, "Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved." You'll be saved, dear friends. What is the whole thought of salvation? It's being saved firstly from your sins. It's having that knowledge that you're free from the bondage of sin. The burden that is lifted from your souls as you accept the Lord Jesus into your heart. What joy will fill your heart whenever you know that that burden of sin is gone and that you can now rejoice in the knowledge of your link with the Saviour. Because that's the wonderful thing about it. The Lord Jesus wants to walk with you here in this pathway. He knows what it's like in this world. He knows what you're going through, and he knows the trials and difficulties. Now, there's lots of trials out there. I was speaking to a man the other day, and he's, because of COVID, he has basically lost his entire business. His business has just, in matter of a number of months, just been completely decimated. And he, this man, what hope has he got? In earthly things, he's got no hope. He's completely destroyed. His whole, everything he'd been building up and everything he'd been desiring for is gone. Oh, laying up your treasures in this world. Lay up your treasures in heaven, dear friends, because those are the things that will go on. Those are the things that will stick. And do you know, the Lord helps us as we go through our pathway here, and we'll have trials and we'll have difficulties. There'll be things that will test us and try us. We're not free from trials just because we're saved. We'll still have our exercises. But what it is to have that knowledge of the Lord, as we read in Ephesians, that the Christ may dwell through faith in your hearts, being rooted and founded in love, in order that you may be fully able to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled even to all the fullness of God, that he's able to do far exceeding above all that we ask or think, according to the power which works with him to him in his glory. You know, the having that relationship with the Lord Jesus, and knowing what who he is and what he is, and the knowledge that he will bring us through whatever's before us, is great encouragement for us as believers. To be able to cast all our cares upon him and know that he is there to carry us through whatever's ahead. Because we don't know what's ahead in this world. We don't know how much longer we've got in this world. And you know, we've got loved ones that are suffering. We've got loved ones that have gone through hard times and suffering and all. But oh, how the sufferings and the trials of this world would be to draw us closer to our blessed Lord, our friend, the one who never leaves us, the one who never forsakes us, the one who's by us through all the hard times that we have to pass through in life. If you haven't got a link with him, you know, dear friend, what you're missing in not having that one to be able to turn to, that you can confide in, that you can speak to him. You can speak to him wherever you are, if you're lying in your bed, if you're driving along in your car, if you're sitting in your school, if you're lying in a sick bed, whatever would be your state, to have that resource of being able to call on the one of who is almighty in his power and his love for you. And he will draw closer to you than any brother or any friend can ever do. And he'll give you what's needed. So even though he puts us, there's times whenever we are put through trials, there's times whenever we have exercises, he never leaves us in them. And he's there for us. And what a hope we have. Those of us that are waiting for the Lord's return, those of us that are waiting for that moment whenever the Lord will appear in the cloud and he'll take us to be with himself. You know, I don't think it's going to be very long. I believe that the Lord's coming is imminent. And you can talk about the signs and you can talk about the state of the world and everything. The day of the rapture, when the Lord will appear in the clouds and take his own to be with himself, I believe is not far away. What a moment that'll be. What a moment it'll be for the believer whenever we'll be caught up to be with the Saviour. And we'll see his glorious face, the one that we have spoken to, the one we would talk to, the one that we long to see. We're going to see him very soon, and we're going to be with him, never to be parted from him again. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we, the living that remain, will caught up and we'll meet him in the cloud. What a hope we have. How great that is. And yet we think of the ones that are left behind. That would cause us to sorrow, that there will be those that will be left behind. There'll be those that will put off that, making that decision, coming to the Lord. They'll just say, ach, not yet. And they'll just say, ach, I want to enjoy the world. I want to enjoy the things of the world. Or that's not for me. Or that's maybe all right for you, but, you know, that interferes with my social life or the sort of friends that I want to have. And maybe someday I'll come to the Lord, but ach, not yet. You can't put off this decision. This is a decision that needs to be done now, because you do not know when the Lord will say, your time's up. You do not know whether you've got tomorrow. But we do know that you've got now, you have now to come to the Saviour. Simply call on him. Cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me. And the Lord will save you. He will come in and he will take your hand and he will lead you through this world, what's left of it. But those of us that are waiting for his return, we have a wonderful hope, we have a wonderful joy ahead of us. And even as we're left here, we can depend on him, for he's able to do far exceedingly above all that we ask or think. What a comfort it is for us when we look at the uncertainty of what's out there and we look at how we see things that have changed, and yet we know that the one who's in control is our Lord and Saviour, our God and Father. Think of a father's love for his own. We think of a father's care for his children, and we think of how that our blessed God and Father loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that he might die on the cross to save us from our sins. I would appeal to you tonight, if you're listening to this gospel broadcast, to consider your state. If you're still in your sins, consider the seriousness of what it would be to be lost in your sins. But even consider what there is, what the Lord would have for you as far as your blessings concerned. As coming to him, he will open up joy to you. He will make his presence known to you. And in doing so, you will experience joy in this world that the things of nature, the things of this world cannot provide you with. I would appeal to you tonight, come to the Saviour, accept him as your Lord, and may we all be blessed tonight as we have sat under, listened to the gospel again. May the Lord bless each one for his name's sake. Amen.